Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Maybe we should do it the other way around. We always do that. Go on, you kick it off, go on.
Hello, this is Paul Hawksby.
No, I don't mean that. Who's on first? All I'm saying, we'll keep this in, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way,
just good job.
You introduce yourself first.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andy Jacobs.
I don't like it like that. Okay, go back to the old way. This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this
you mean
afternoon.
The J&H Daily.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's why we do it in that order.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, today, an old face. He's got quite an old face.
An old sea dog.
Yeah. Paul Breen Turner used to present Drive with Rodney Marsh in the sort of mid-2000s. He's in the country. He's sailed all the way from... no, he hasn't. But it came easy yet. But he's here, and he was on good form, wasn't he?
He was.
It was good to see him. And yeah. He was talking Spanish football. And we also spoke to a guy up in Fife, a place called Ely up in Fife. Very picturesque place. Mm. And it's a pub that has its own cricket team. But the different... So do a lot of pubs, you're thinking. Mm. But they play on the beach, which brings its own problems. Mm. But anyway, that was all it described to us. And we had a bit of a chat about various things.
Quite a bit of ground.
We did. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, Paul. And yeah, I enjoyed the game last night. But there was a moment where the commentator apologised for any foul language we may have heard. And I didn't, actually. Apart from my own, when I tripped, dashing to the loo, I went absolutely flying.
Did you really?
Just trying.
At what point of proceedings was
this? Well, I think
this?
The game had just kicked off and I was sort of like
you
dying
had to
go.
Well, that's a schoolboy error, isn't it? Really?
It is, really.
Well,
I should have put
going
it on
before
pause.
The game.
Well, I should have just put it on pause or something. But yeah. Oh, I whacked my knee, but never mind. I recovered to enjoy the game and... I thought one thing I did think was interesting, the fact that there's no away goal in the playoff semi-final in for the two legs does make it a different game.
Sure.
Because it was like a 3-3 game, whereas once Albion had scored, if that had been away goal counts double, they would have been in front in that match.
Sure.
And Villa would have had to play it in a different way. So, you know, and then maybe that hanging on could have meant something for them. But anyway, look, that's the rules. Everybody knows the rules. And, you know, it was a strange game, wasn't it? Brunt, turned the game. He was lucky to stay on him and he should have gone.
I mean, that's been two games when an Albion player has been living on borrowed time in a match, isn't it? I mean, Gale to an extent, and although I thought he was a bit hard done by when he finally did get sent off for that challenge, but and then last night with Brunt, you thought, if you keep on like that, it's only a matter of time.
We all say this, he's not that kind of lad, but he was fired up. I mean, he was really fired up. Yeah. I mean, the challenge on McGinn should have been a red card on its own, and then to go and do it again, you know.
But, you know, Villa didn't really step up, did they? Couldn't find a way, could they? I mean, it changed the game, Sam. The extra time was a bit dull.
I mean, I took special notice of Tammy Abraham because he might have to be our striker next season. I don't know. I mean, I think he can score a goal, he's a presence, but what he needs is movement lessons from Higuain. Yeah. That's why I think that's for me, you know, at the highest level, you have to have that sort of movement.
He's not a top four Premier League striker you sense looking at him play.
That's why he's very young.
But
he's very young
to write
him off. I wouldn't want to write him off, but that at the moment, that would be a problem for me. So,
my wife doesn't watch an awful lot of Aston Villa, but she said, who's that? I said, that's Jack Grealish, and he came to us last year, but it didn't quite happen.
He looked so Tottenham, doesn't he?
Blimey, shorts are tight, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit throwback to the Argentina in the 78 World Cup. It's a short, and they're very tight, aren't
he's
they?
He's a very nice player to watch. He's got nice feet. He's got a great weight of pass, I think. Even the simple pass, he's played it the right way. He didn't have his best game ever, but I thought what he did was neat and tidy.
Well, sadly, I can't see our chairman paying 40, 50, 60 million for someone he was attempting to mug a club off for last year for 50.
I don't think he'll go for that, though. I mean, no. It depends. Look, if Villa come up, then I think he'll probably stay.
I think, of course, he will, yeah.
A save from Sam Johnson. Yeah. A powerful strike from Albert. We always call him Albert because he played for our local club. He went from Meads, Old Madonians, the local club in Chiswick.
Right
the way through, he went to Bristol after that. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But then he ended up at Villa.
So it's a good chance, though. Well, it was a good save, but it was a good chance.
Oh, I don't know. He couldn't have hit it. And he could have hit it more accurately, but he couldn't have hit it better.
No, he got a bit on it.
It was a great
Not a great
save.
Pen by old Albert, though, was it?
No,
really?
it wasn't Albert's best work. And
but well done. I mean, you've got to say, Steer, apparently, they've said, have you been working on penalties? I've faced 100 in the last 2 days.
100 a day. 100, just sensational.
Yeah,
and the Albion PA, though, if we've got Frank Skinner coming in next week. Well, I'll talk about this bloke. He's a real cheerleader. Mm. You know, that he's 10 minutes to go, make some noise. One of those, make some noise.
Yeah.
But what a contrast, the polar opposite to the chap at Anfield.
Yeah.
4 minutes. That is the time. Four minutes. He's so downbeat, that guy. I thought it was brilliant
the way he did it last week when Origi scored that goal. Yeah. You know, third Liverpool goal scored by Divock. He must be out of his mind in that. Well, I reckon he goes absolutely crazy. He runs around with his shirt over his head and then gets back on the mic and gets back into character. But that was impressive, really.
And what a race at the 8:44 from Sheffield. 4-1 from 6. Tremendous.
Really?
I didn't tape it.
I should use half time to tune in and watch a bit of Greyhound Racing TV.
At one point, they're going to be, it's 4 from 6 from 2 and 1 5 and 3. You think, all right, give them a name.
I wonder if there are iconic Greyhound Racing commentaries like that. And it was 3 from 2 from 1. Who cares who's third? Yeah. A bit like that, wouldn't it? And here comes 4.
Exactly. Yeah,
that would be that sort of great racing moment in the world of greyhounds.
Yeah. 1's fallen, 2's fallen, 5's fallen, here comes 3.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They'd struggle to fall, wouldn't they? I suppose they could.
Well, they used to go over the jumps. They don't do it anymore.
The greyhounds over the jumps?
I'm pretty sure I got mad.
You had a dream, eh?
I'm pretty sure they used to be greyhound.
Is Bruce Millington listening? He does now and again. Is this true, TalkSport listeners?
I've got to check it now.
Did they do the greyhounds over the jumps?
I seem to, on dim and distant memory, I seem to remember them.
I know, I reckon you had a weird dream. Yeah, anyway, listen, I don't want to set the listeners to work. They were on good form yesterday. Yes, and it involves our old mate Lloyd Griffith. He was tweeting today that he's opening an event. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Lloyd, he's goalkeeper. He's on Soccer AM. He's a comedian. He's a chorister. Actually, there's a very funny story. Do you see that Joe Lycett's had a new kitchen extension done?
No.
So to open the kitchen extension, he enlisted the mayor of Birmingham and Lloyd to sing the national anthem. Fantastic,
really?
Yeah. So Lloyd was there at the official opening to sing
that's
the anthem.
Very good.
But anyway, we digress. Lloyd said, I have an announcement. I'm over the moon to announce that I'm going to be opening the Humberside Fire Peaks Lane Firefighters Fete on August the 1st. I've been obsessed with fire engines since a kid, so this is a dream come true. So when they were putting together the Peaks Lane Firefighters Fete on Humberside, I mean, did they think... did they have a shortlist and was Lloyd first?
Well,
I don't know. Because
been.
Now and again, whether it's a shop, you know, you're often seeing, oh, come along to your local shopping area this week where so-and-so is opening a clothes shop. And you get some very, very odd people, don't you?
Yeah.
Get some... is this over the fence?
Yeah. Look.
Dog racing over the jumps. Yeah, yeah. Why do they do away? They're kind of... yeah, it's like bumpers, really, isn't it? They're not high fences.
No, they are fences.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good, Andy. It happened, yeah. They did go over the jumps. There was a Grand National, says Andy Smart.
Greyhound. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, Andy would know.
Well done, folks. We cleared that one up. The champion hurdle of greyhound racing.
Oh, no, so, they're sensational the way they go over them.
Have you gone along to an opening of something and it was quite a left-field style... celebrity, sporting or otherwise, who did the opening, much like Lloyd doing the Humberside Fire Peaks Lane Firefighters Fete on August the 1st. Go along, though. It'd be a good do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us in the studio, former TalkSport presenter, the afternoon show, the Drive Time show with Rodney Marsh for many years ago. He's a Spanish commentator and football expert, sailing the seven seas these days on his ocean-going liner. And it's Paul Bryn-Turner. Paul, good to see you.
Oh, lovely. Do you know what? I know we're in the humble days in the other place. I mean, what new studio.
Some setup, isn't it? Yeah.
Unbelievable. Beautiful.
Can't talk about
you. You could have sailed up the river.
I did. Didn't you see me?
Yeah. We've seen a super yacht outside, but I don't think, unless your rates were a lot higher than ours.
No, congratulations. Wonderful setup.
It's nice, isn't it? Isn't so, Paul, so it's worth telling people what you're up to. You'd always been a commentator. You work out in Spain and you commentate on Spanish football, don't you?
Yeah. Well, actually, of late, because I semi-retired, I bought a yacht and started sailing around. Yeah. And I've been quite near to Gibraltar. Yeah, and Gibraltar have their own television network, Gibraltar TV. And 4 years ago, they were accepted by FIFA, official members. And so they play European qualifiers and World Cup qualifiers. They needed a commentator.
So you do all of their stuff?
So I've been doing the commentary on Gibraltar television, the underdogs, and they got their first ever win.
Yeah.
So it was the other side of the spectrum, if you like. So I went from commentating on Real Madrid to Barcelona to little Gibraltar. And a crowd of sometimes 500 people, you know, and to broadcast those games and to be there when they got their first ever win and the tears of emotion, it's the other side of the coin. And it's been lovely. I've enjoyed it.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, now, you talk about some of the Spanish football stories doing the rounds. The news broke last night that Antoine Griezmann is to leave Atletico Madrid. Looks like he's going to Barcelona. They'll pay his 120 million. Release clause. Godin went recently. What's going on with Atletico? Is it a bit of an end of an era, you think?
I think it is, yeah. We've spoken a lot about the unfair divide of television rights in Spain. Barca and Real Madrid refuse to sell collectively, and it means that Atletico actually end up getting less than the last team in the Premier League. So they've got limited spending power, and I think Simeone has been frustrated, and I think Griezmann's been really loyal. You know, I think they got probably a season extra because it looked
5 years
like
he's been there.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
Yeah. So yeah. I think he's been a good servant to the club. But, you know, the guy, when you get an offer, when somebody like a Barcelona or a Real Madrid come calling, it's very difficult to turn them down. Mm. Big money, as you just mentioned, his buyout clause by July is going to be 120 million. Yeah. So no surprise. It's a shame for Atletico fans. And I just wonder if they're going to be able to, you know, keep the grip that we've seen them being so successful the past years.
The return of Costa, Diego Costa, hasn't really worked.
No, it hasn't, no.
Not like the first time. And I don't quite get what they see in Morata, but how many has he done?
Not very well.
No, he's
not very well. I mean, although saying that, they are just, incredible, really. They're 75 points, 11 behind Barcelona, have won La Liga. You know, so it's not been a disastrous season for Atletico by any standings. Mm. And they're 7 points clear of Real Madrid, who have had a disaster by their standards.
Absolutely. What's going to happen there? Because Zidane, he hasn't been brilliant when he's come back.
No.
They obviously need a big clear out, and they've got plenty of players they can sell and move around. They want Hazard. I mean, it's a big job, though, isn't it, for him?
It is a big job. There was a suggestion that Mourinho was going to return, before Zidane was announced as the replacement for Solari. And all of the problems that they had there seem to have given Mourinho a little bit of the reason. He said, look, this is not my fault.
Yeah.
You can't deal with these rebels, as he called them at one stage. And it's an unhappy club at the minute. Last time this happened, they called in Fabio Capello to have a clear out, to deal with the egos. And I think there is going to be a clear out. And some of the players you might see up for grabs. And I mean, one that I named on your show some years ago, Isco.
Yeah.
You know, I can see Isco leaving. Toni Kroos, Benzema allegedly has a deal with PSG. Gareth Bale, who we'll talk about in a minute, and Marcelo as well, was rumoured to be heading to Juventus to join Ronaldo, although we now think Ronaldo may not stay at Juventus.
Really?
Where could he be off to then?
Good question.
Back to Real Madrid, probably.
Not Tranmere, is it?
Do you know what?
Where else could he go?
I'll tell you what, it is amazing that one player could cause so much disruption, you know, and they got rid of him. And the minute they got rid of Ronaldo, everything went down the pan for Real Madrid. He has got huevos, as we say in Spanish.
Yeah,
you know, he has got big ones.
Yeah.
He really has, you know. I mean, when it really comes down to it, Atletico thought they'd put Juventus out, and he scored a hat-trick in Italy. Amazing. And against Spain in the World Cup for Portugal, he absolutely destroyed Piqué and Ramos, the two best, arguably, central defenders in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronaldo leaving Real Madrid was the start of the end.
Yeah.
And Florentino Perez has got a lot of work to do there.
Now, Coutinho is likely to move on, you would think, if Griezmann's coming in. So why has that not worked in your eyes? You've seen a bit of him whilst commentating, I'm sure.
It's very difficult to say. Barcelona had a certain time where everything was controlled with the likes of mega players, Xavi, Iniesta. How do you replace that style of play? It was unique, it was glorious, it was wonderful. And I think Coutinho's had massive boots to fill. They've got a certain way they want to play, and it just hasn't gone well. And there's a little bit of a lack of hunger. One of the Spanish papers yesterday was saying that, look, when you're married to, I'm not sure if they're married or not, but when you're married to Shakira, you know, she's worth so many millions. He's worth, Piqué, so many millions. Mm. They've just opened up a vineyard. Does he really have the hunger to get up at 7 o'clock on a chilly Madrid morning and go and do some training? He's won everything that he's won. Yeah, he'd rather stay in bed with Shakira, wouldn't you?
Well, that's a very good question.
He always seems to be putting the option when I watch him play.
Well, you're looking good, Andy. You're in great shape. I must tell the listeners. He looks fantastic.
He was quite taken with him.
Yeah. Coutinho, though, Tim Vickery thinks the problem is, what's his position? Is he a midfielder? Is he a forward?
Yeah.
And he's somewhere in between, and that's the problem.
And you've got Messi floating so much as well.
Yeah.
You never know, and he's been brilliant, and he's probably the only player who will not be sold.
Mm.
But there will be plenty. Rakitic, we're hearing, could be available for 50 million. Any takers there? Andres Gomez is at Everton. Denis Suarez. All these players could be sold on permanent deals. Mm. So I think you're going to see a lot of movement at Barcelona.
What's the last week been like then, since Barcelona were knocked out by Liverpool? A bit of navel-gazing there over there?
Do you know what? Normally, there would be some sort of controversy, some sort of excuse. You know, the referee got this wrong. Or zilch.
Okay.
Absolute zero. Humble pie, applauding Liverpool for an historic, fantastic display. And just holding their hands up and say, you know what, we deserve to go out, and the inquest must start now. I personally think that the Premier League has changed, and I think we're more in line now with European football. If you follow me on social media, I often put Premier League as different.
Mm.
And Gareth Southgate, when he took over, said, we've got to be more streetwise here. You know, you don't win penalties if you don't go to ground. If someone's fouling you, you're not going to get the free kick, you know, unless you show the referee. You've got to be streetwise. What's happened? England reached the semi-final of a World Cup by being streetwise. We've got four teams in two European finals by being streetwise. We are playing more to the rules plate, and I say rules in inverted commas.
You're talking about tactical fouling.
No, I'm just on about being streetwise. If someone fouls, you make sure the referee sees it.
Yeah.
It's not rugby. If someone's pulling your shirt, you're not
With City, we see with a lot of teams, you know, that they never let a bloke go past them without taking him out. You know,
there we are.
If you're going to defend high up the pitch, you're going to press, you almost have to do
but
that.
But, Andy, we have got a little bit more streetwise. We're playing more in line with the rest of the world. And that's why I believe, and I'll say it on your show today, I believe that in my lifetime, England are going to win a World Cup or a European Championship. I honestly believe that's going to happen now because we're clever. We're a lot smarter. We're not letting people get one over on us.
Well, okay, well, I remember where we heard it.
Well, I felt that. Greg Dyke said it first, and everybody laughed at him, including myself.
Yeah,
but
joined in.
You laughed at me when I used to talk like this.
Well, this is true. But
we should ask about Bale, actually, because there's been a bit of talk yesterday that Tottenham could be offered him, but now it seems that's unlikely to happen. He says he wants to stay, but he's going to be in the bomb squad, according to Zidane. It doesn't look like he's going to be in the
players. Zidane went to see him when Tottenham played, I think it was away at Lyon a few years ago, and he contacted Florentino Perez and said, you've got to sign this boy. So it was Zidane's recommendation that originally, you know, gave the seal of approval for him to join Real Madrid. But his agent Barnett has said, look, he's still got 3 years to go. He's happy on his 600 grand a week.
Well, he would be.
You know,
doesn't he want to play? I mean, what's the point?
I don't think he would want to play.
Yeah, of course. Then if you know the manager doesn't like you, if you know the manager doesn't fancy you, you know, there are lots of other top clubs. I know they might have to subsidise some of his wages, but it's not like he wouldn't. I just think
his agent
should get him a club where they want him.
I think there's a little bit of poker going on, Andy, and I think Gareth Bale will leave Real Madrid. I don't think he'll play for them next season, and I'm pretty certain he's going to be in the Premier League, and it may even be at somewhere like Manchester United, because Manchester United are going to let Pogba go. That's probably going to be 150 million up there or thereabouts to Real Madrid. So they're going to need to find fundings for that. So I can't see any way. He's
That's how Madrid can do it. They just shuffle the pack. You mentioned all those players they got. They've all got high value, so they can, you know, they can bring in anybody.
I wonder what Bale's worth now, Paul. I mean, what would they expect to make from that? Three years left.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking in the Spanish media of 120, 130 million.
They think he
plays about 20 games.
Well, no, he does.
Well,
he played 29 last year. This season he's played 29 games, which maybe is quite as bad as you'd think.
Maybe.
But still, that's not likely again. He's not going to get any fitter as he gets older, is he?
The problem is, I think many people thought when Cristiano Ronaldo left the club, they just thought we don't need to buy a replacement. He's already here. His name is Gareth Bale, and we all expected Bale to be free now to step in. And take over from the number one player. And it just hasn't happened. You've mentioned about injuries. That has played a part. But even when he's had the opportunities, it hasn't quite gone the way. And he has scored some important goals, to be fair.
But he's occupying a massive shadow, as you said. You know, we were talking to Andy Brassel about this.
This should have freed him up, though.
Yeah, but I suppose that's difficult. You know, they make that complete comparison. When the guy's there, you're in his shadow. And when he leaves, you're expected to step up and be him.
But you have to do that. Let's go right back to when Kenny Dalglish stepped into Kevin Keegan's boots. I mean, they were massive boots to fill, and he filled them and probably overfilled them.
So the great players will find a way, is that what you're saying, Paul?
You should be able to.
Yeah.
You should be able to.
It's been a great Spanish season, finally. Getafe are still in the mix to make Champions League. That's been a great story, isn't it?
Little Gaddafi.
It looks like they may not now, but Valencia are kind of
Mike
in the box.
Mike Parry used to call him Gaddafi.
Gaddafi
is a little suburb of Madrid, and they've got a lot of South American immigrants who support them, and I've been to the stadium. It's only a little place, and I'm really thrilled and made up for them because, you know, they're on the wrong end of this bad TV rights deal in Spain, and they get something like 100 million less than Real Madrid and Barcelona. They, you know, they're on a shoestring, and for them to be above Seville going into, what is it, the final game of the season, is quite astonishing. Fifth place in La Liga. They're going to be in the Europa League for sure, and you know, it's just incredible to see what they're doing.
Brilliant. Paul, we're out of time. Lovely to see you. Thanks ever so much for coming in.
Please come sailing, boys, sometime.
Well, we will. We'll go out. I'll go and get me nautical outfit.
Don't wear hoops, Andy. They make you look fat. Hoops.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
For fans of immobile strikers who look like Nasser Hussain, Higuain might be staying at Chelsea. Even if they get a transfer
ban. What a great job. Britain's foremost Toby Gillies lookalike. He can still get some lookalike work.
Apparently, because they registered him in January, there's a thought that they might be able to keep him. Anyway, who knows?
We'll see.
Have you seen Ellie Goulding has been training with Barry McGuigan's son Shane?
He was on earlier on with the guys, with Jim. Yeah,
was he talking about?
No, they were talking about the fight this weekend.
Did she sing "Punch Me Like You Do"?
Well, that's nice. You looked up some of her songs.
I know that one.
Oh, you know that one. Okay, yeah. Have you got any other boxing songs for
Ellie Goulding?
Have you got any others?
I don't know any of her.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was the only one you looked up, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't anyone. That's the one I happened to know.
You got that in the car. car
my
play
wife
that in
likes
the car,
that song. She's one of her favourites.
Punch me like you do.
Complain. This made me smile.
Did
yes,
it really?
Yes, it did.
Okay. What, in an Irish accent?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a thing about National Lottery's new game,
yeah,
which apparently is still to be won despite being drawn 17 times. Mm. So people are sort of complaining about it, but... lottery operator.
I thought the answer from the lottery was brilliant, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you
That's
think so?
I did say.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They just the clues in the name, mate.
No, well,
is what
they
you should
said,
have said, wouldn't it?
At the end of the day, it's a lottery.
It's a lottery.
Well, at least you've got a sense of humour.
Clues pretty, in the name.
Pretty
yeah,
good,
I think,
I thought.
Yeah,
right, quite
that's
like
right.
That. And the Earl of Wessex, where was he? Because I was looking at the court circular.
Which one's that? Remind
the
us,
Earl
of
Wessex.
Wessex.
Which one is the Earl of Wessex? It's a good question. I think the Earl of Wessex is...
It could be a pub.
Sophie Wessex. Yes, it's Prince Edward.
Prince Edward, okay.
He's
yeah,
the Earl
Prince
of Essex. Edward.
No, he's not the Earl of Essex. What's the matter with
the
you?
Earl of Wessex.
The Earl of Wessex. Will Hayfield.
Who's the Earl of Essex? Ray Parler.
Yeah, the only way is Wessex. Now, that's a series and a half.
That would be
yeah, the producers just suggested that.
So, yeah. Good idea, actually. Yeah. And hold on one second. A bit of a wheeze there. Now, good. Where are we? Oh, yes, here
You're
it
talking
is.
About the Earl of Wessex.
The Earl of Wessex.
Which one's that? Oh, it's Prince Edward, that's it, yeah.
He was greeted at, where did he go? Slovenia. And he was greeted at the airport by Her Majesty's Ambassador to the Republic of Slovenia.
Oh,
you're putting me
go
up.
Go on, then, carry on.
Her Excellency, Miss Sophie Honey. And who actually apparently tripped up and landed on her bottom. Yes, Honey Enzafala. And here comes Bowen Avon.
Oh, blimey, that's so obscure.
I liked it.
Possibly
though.
The most
actually,
obscure
second,
reference ever.
I don't know, there was a reference to it earlier in the show, actually, when we were talking about greyhound racing over the jumps.
Yes, there was, yeah. That, there was, and that was quite obscure as well.
And,
now, well, I picked up the, as I often do, the Daily Record, which gives you a slightly different take on life. North of the border, as we say,
north
for
of
us
the border, yeah.
Down south. Hmm. And there was a story there about, it looks like great news, that Stephen Hendry has been reunited with his puppet from Spitting Image.
Oh, okay.
Because I think when he split up with his wife, he didn't take it with him, and she was considering selling it online. Mm. But he's managed to get it back, allowing his new partner to spend time with it when he's not there.
Oh, right.
But it was a good puppet.
Oh,
you
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, all those. Most, yeah, I'd say, yeah. 90% of the Spitting Image puppets were incredible.
But I did some work there years ago. I had a Spitting Image hand, one of the hands that had been discarded, thrown in a skip, the old workshop
what
on
did
the
you do
Docklands.
With
well, I'd just use it for comic effect. I took it with me, and you just kind of leave it in places and frighten people
oh,
with
yeah,
it. It
okay.
was it was,
well,
it was
sort
tremendous.
Of keep your own hand in your
it was
sleeve.
Just,
and
I just give you a kind of just a big massive sponge hand.
But like Pat Jennings,
yeah,
it wasn't,
a bit like that.
Wasn't modelled on him, was it?
Exactly that. Yeah.
Have you seen this latest attraction on Brighton's seafront, the Upside Down House?
I haven't seen that.
That's amazing, isn't it? But I was thinking, I'm sure Brighton's Aussie goalie Matt Ryan will be bidding on it. He can just ship it back home. It'd be like a normal house for him.
Nice, isn't it? Come because out. Obviously, in Australia, everything's
upside down. Yeah,
that's right, as we learnt in the Beano. yes, so...
Shall I say, here comes Foeing Avon again?
No, don't do that. I've got the World of Football Karma, and very much in my sights for the World of Football Karma. Step forward, Bournemouth's Jefferson Lerma, who's definitely going to get his next year.
Ooh.
Because fresh, of course, from getting Heung-min Son sent off for some spectacular S-housery.
Oh, yes, I wonder
he then followed that up with Wilf Zaha. And trying to get him sent off, because knowing, this is another one you can rile quite. I mean, more for them for getting riled, but he's like crybaby Jim Breaks, if you want a contemporary reference.
It's rather a pity because he's actually had a good season.
He's
a good player.
But,
he doesn't need to do that.
Did you see the other? Wilf did well to stay on his feet, but just a proper old school double handed petulant push. Mm. I mean, I'm sure refs are watching him, and he'll get his next year. Definitely next season, that will catch up with him
because
refs watch match of the day, they're only human. And they can see what he's up to, to think. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Well, there's one or two cyborgs. But we can't say who they are.
Which one is
we can't say who they are.
Yeah, no, imagine if
just
they actually were.
Don't. What I'm saying is don't stand behind Craig Pawson at the airport when he goes through that barrier. Because he could malfunction.
He'd be there for ages.
He could go, yeah.
Now, the FA Cup are about to announce, I think, it was in the papers this morning, that it will be available free to air for the first time since 1988 on both ITV and BBC. And it's a good thing, this. It's a very good... I've been a long-time advocate of sports having certain parts of what they do on terrestrial, because it just, you know, it just gets more figures. And if you look at this, their biggest, I think this was, I can't think, it was like BBC's figures. Yeah, for the Manchester United game against Arsenal in the fourth round, 7.6 million.
Yeah.
Right. Now, last week, those two wonderful games that we thought we all watched, 2.7 million for Liverpool, 2.4 million for Spurs.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very good audience for BT, and they're delighted with that.
Sure.
But in terms of everybody seeing it, and kids and people getting into football, and for the future of football. And it's the same with cricket. So the only reason I like the 100 is because it's going to have some terrestrial presence. And I'm a big believer in this because I think it's important.
But it's going back to the old days. Motti's here on Friday, and so we're going to have a bit of an FA Cup love-in because, you know, he's a man who's completely synonymous with the competition. And we are going back to the days when the two terrestrial broadcasters would go head-to-head then on Cup Final Day. I mean, they'd make a commitment to it round by round, clearly. And it's the great thing is the Beeb, when we were kids,
they probably will both do the final.
You didn't even notice the FA Cup to the third round. No one really talked about it, did they? And you think, oh, blimey, the Leatherheader in it.
Yeah.
And, but now you can follow it from the first round. It's a much greater commitment
Which
to it.
Which is good.
That's been great.
Nothing, absolutely, the satellite coverage of football has been wonderful for that sort of thing, as well as all the other stuff that it's brought. But it does have that drawback, and those figures show you that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. You wonder.
I mean, Alan was saying this morning, surely everyone's got a Sky dish, but they haven't. And Ray was really took him to task, and he was right, because not everyone's got it, and not everybody can afford a subscription like that.
Yeah, you wonder, what does it tell you about BT's plans for football? Obviously, they've still got Champions League and Europa League, and they've got Premier League, but I think
Premier League-wise, that's going to be very interesting to see what they do, because if there's only one game in town, that's going to affect the price. That will affect the league. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Anyway, you've been telling us about some of these weird, wonderful people who are opening events. Slogger says, once on holiday in a tiny village in Cornwall in the late 90s, the local pub had a refurb, and to reopen the pub, the ceremony was conducted by winner of Opportunity Knocks, Bernie Flint.
Really? Don't remember Bernie. What did he do?
I said, well, he got paid, but no one had any idea who'd booked him. So maybe he just turned up and got the check. I don't know.
Okay.
And Nadim says, an opening ceremony for a new insurance firm in our office block. 18 years ago, step forward, the only man who could have opened it, Steve Backley, the top javelin crow.
Who else?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's the Ship Inn. It's in Fife. It's the only pub in Britain to have a cricket team with a pitch on the beach. And so it threw up quite a lot of questions. And who better to put them to than the man who is, wait for this, president, chairman, captain and selector. A man very much in charge of the whole setup, I think it's fair to say. Graham Bucknell joins us. Hi, Graham.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I tell you what interests me, Graham, because... You know, playing cricket on the beach with a plastic bat and a... Well, that's a traditional thing that people have done since, you know, cricket was invented, perhaps. But this is proper cricket in whites, with stumps, with umpires. I mean, how do you get to prepare the pitch for a start?
Well, exactly. So it is proper cricket, and that's the key thing. And we get teams from all over the world to come to play, but it is the key is it's proper cricket played 11-a-side by proper cricketers. Or slightly old and fat cricketers sometimes, but we all know how to hold a bat and how to bowl it. The key to the pitch is get the tides right. If you get the tides wrong, you look a bit of an idiot because at high tide, it's all wet and you go boating. But we get about 6 or 7 hours. So once the tide has gone out, we basically put a rope round to mark the pitch, but the actual wicket itself we prepare with a roller. So it's, again, looks a bit like normal cricket. And we just compact down the sand. It's drying nicely. And then the only other concession we make to the fact we're on a beach is we play with a slightly lighter, rubberized cricket ball.
Yeah, it had to be. I thought it would have.
You don't get the bounce otherwise.
No, just a plug.
But the bowlers can spin it, they can swing it, they can get off the seam. Occasionally off a bit of seaweed as well, and like every in cricket, if you middle it, it'll go for 4 or 6, and if you don't hit it straight, you'll be out.
How long's the tradition been running then, Graham, playing
25 years basically. We've been playing on the beach. There are a couple of games before that, but we've got a proper club. We've got 15 fixtures this season, But it's been going about 25 years on the beach, and it's great fun. As I said, we all used to play cricket. Some of us still play what we disparagingly call red ball cricket or grass cricket, but real cricket on the beach. We all love it. We only play at home, and it's a great way to spend the summer.
I mean, 6 to 7 hours. Presumably, you've only got time for a 2020. I mean, you've for both
we do. We know we had a first game of the weekend. That photo was us winning in with two balls to spare in a 30 over game. So yeah. 30 overs aside. Next weekend we've got Edinburgh and St Andrews Universities playing against us, and we've got a triangular game. We've never done this before, but we've got three matches, 15 over a side, that will probably involve the students getting their feet wet by the end of the game. But that's part of cricket on the beach.
You've not been caught. Obviously, the great thing about a tide, you know when it's coming in and out, so there's no reason why you will be called out. It's not like the rain, is it?
It's not like the rain at all, actually. And we do stop for rain, but the pitch dries out pretty quickly after rain, which is quite good. No, the tide, I can predict it pretty well, but occasionally you get caught out or the game's run on or things have been delayed. The boundary is either the rope or the line of the incoming tide. So some canny players delay it a bit, so when the tide's in, the boundary gets a bit shorter, but if it gets too wet, then we just abandon it and all go back to the pub.
I'm looking at the website at the moment for the shipping, and some of the pictures, very picturesque. It does look a lovely setting. I'm just showing Andy that one there.
It's a nice part of the world, there's some lovely coastline, lovely sort of old fishing villages. Ely is an old fishing village, but now much better known for its beach, and it's a sort of place that a bit quiet in the winter, but really fills up for Easter, and this weather at the moment is amazing, so it's busy, and then summer holidays, it's packed full of guys from all over the place, actually. But it's famous for, dare I say, it's famous for the pub, and it's famous for its beaches, but increasingly it's becoming really well known for the fabulous sport of beach cricket.
Excellent. Amazing. And the actual strip itself, does somebody have to go along and make sure there's no shells and bits and things? Because obviously that would affect...
Rears up off a crab.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the home team leave a few grenades for the opposition and stuff. But no, we roll it, and it's amazing how true it keeps, actually. And, you know, you're taught as a kid, don't run up and down the wicket if you're batting, and that certainly holds true on the sand. But it's... It performs pretty well, actually, and certainly for a 30-over game, we roll it up in between the innings, but it lasts 30 overs absolutely fine.
I see pictures of the crowd all behind the sort of beach wall there. I suppose you get people just turning up because they're just travelling around Scotland, and they're probably a bit shocked to see a game of cricket going on when they arrive.
Absolutely. We get lots of people equally who know about it, and they plan their holidays around it.
Oh.
We do. Lots of people go, that looks like cricket. Lots of... had some interesting chats from St. Louis, Missouri at the weekend. They did not understand at all what they were looking at, but we tried to explain it to them. But, it's a beer garden in a pub looking out on the beach. And I think if you tried to say to your kids, let's go and spend 6 hours in a beer garden, they might not be very happy. But actually, if you say we're going to go and watch some cricket, you find that people just sit there all afternoon and enjoy, like, going to watch any game of cricket. You enjoy it with a drink in your hand and a chat, and you're probably half watching the cricket and half thinking about something else. But it's a great way to spend an afternoon, and for us it means we get great crowds. It's fabulous.
And the pub acts as the pavilion as well, does it? Down the steps from the bar
exactly,
onto the pitch.
Yeah. So that's one of the attractions, actually, is that refreshments are quite handy. We have very regular and generous drinks intervals, and our beer and wine and gin suppliers all make sure they sponsor the games, and it's certainly a popular one for the opposition teams to come and play in, because we look after them pretty well, actually. So I would say that, but we do.
Good stuff, Graham. Thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Guys, absolute pleasure. Love the show.
Thank you very much, Graham. Yeah, Graham Bucknell there. He's president, chairman, captain, selector of the ship in Ely in Fife. It looks amazing.
It's not that far from Edinburgh, is it? I don't think.
Not sure.
We can venture there.
Yeah.
When we go to do these shows.
Well, it does look fantastic. It really looks like a nice pub as well. So must do a show from there,
absolutely,
as Big Alan would say.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
PBT left us to join Mr. Parry and Mr. Brazil for an afternoon's entertainment.
Rather him than me, I would have said.
Actually, Mr. Perry's always telling us that he shouldn't drink, but maybe he's having a tonic water.
You know he isn't. So definitely isn't. No question. I love the story. I hope we can get him on. I love the story about the Liverpool fan who won a bet. He won money on Origi scoring and Barcelona, Liverpool winning 4-0.
Yeah.
And what he did, basically, he won $3,000. He's decided to have his teeth done like Jurgen Klopp.
That's what he's going to spend the money, not a ticket for Madrid. He's not spending on going to the game. He wants new teeth.
It's more permanent.
I suppose it is, really, yeah.
Yeah. So, and...
How are his teeth at the moment? You got a picture of him?
I haven't. They look okay. They're not like, they're like normal person's teeth.
Not in the Shane McGowan envelope? Or...
No, they're not. Okay. No, they're not like that. No, they're just normal.
Although he's had his done there, hasn't he, of course?
Has he? What, yeah. Like Jurgen?
Similar, yeah, not a million miles off. Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So...
So, money well spent. I mean, it doesn't come cheap, a set of teeth like that.
Here it is. He's booked a break in Turkey where we'll have new Nashers fitted for £3,200.
Wow. So, it's obviously cheaper to have them done in Turkey. Do you think Jurgen had his done somewhere in Turkey? Probably not, I wouldn't think.
He says, I can't believe I'll get Liverpool teeth and a week in Turkey for £20.
Yeah. There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us. You're going to watch the game tonight, Andy? What's the score going to be?
Leeds 2, Derby 0.
If you know what, I was thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of with you on that. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. It'll make fools of us all, I'm sure. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.